Hey y'all, this is Pastor Steve Berger. Welcome to Courageous Conversations, where we tackle tough issues in the church, government, and culture.
All right, so tonight we're in the fourth part of our series on heaven, and this has been so fun and exciting. We're going to have fun tonight. I hope some of you are used to the fact that you can have fun in church. Church can actually be enjoyable, and so we're going to enjoy it tonight. Last week we talked about our resurrected bodies and all of their glory and all of their ability and the strange things that, you know, I say strange from the sense that we just don't think about it very much. But beloved, three different times in the New Testament we saw the scripture tells us that we get to have the same resurrected body that Jesus had when he rose from the grave. And when you see all of the unique things, Kevin, that Jesus did, it's just, I'm happy to know it's going to be an adventure. Which really tonight we're going to be able to see more of that. But in order for us to see the adventure that heaven is, or we might say that heaven isn't boring. You realize that, right? Like heaven isn't boring. It's not an unending church service. Heaven isn't boring. And so what's going to have to happen with all of us, and this is something that I'm seeding into you all every week. We're going to have to look over, as Randy Alcorn said in his book just called Heaven, it is the work for, if you want to read a great theological book, but it's easy to read, you need to get Randy Alcorn's book entitled Heaven. It's fantastic. But Randy makes a point and he says, if we're really going to see into heaven and see what God has for us, we're going to have to look over our own horizon. We're going to have to look through the foggy lenses that are so often in front of us and see with scriptural clarity what's available and what's waiting for us in heaven. And when it happens, it produces joy. It really is a fantastic thing. And so anyway, I want to start tonight with this quote from pastor and author Mark Buchanan. Look at this. I love this. He said, heaven, it is the of deep satisfaction and the aha of delighted surprise, meeting and kissing. Isn't that awesome? I'm going home. Forget it. Like, I'm not doing this travel thing for y'all to sit there like zombies. Yeah, that's awesome. Like, is that awesome or not? Yeah, thank you. Gonna have to change the name of this church to the Frozen Chosen. Yeah, I'm picking on you. Heaven is the of deep satisfaction and the aha of delighted surprise, meeting and kissing one another. Is that awesome or not? There you go. Some people, though, I think, they think that heaven is boring. Now, listen, because they live a boring Christian life. And you just extrapolate that. You just carry that out into the afterlife. Because your Christian life is boring, you think that heaven is going to be boring. You know who's asked me, is heaven boring more than anybody else? Just over the last couple weeks. Kids about 10 and under. Kids about 10 and under. You know how little kids are. Little rugrats is tearing everything up. Right? Filled with energy and excitement and all of the stuff and the things. And what they're concerned about is like, is it going to be boring? It's not going to be boring. It's not going to be just an eternity of kind of what you do now as a grown up. It's going to be absolutely incredible. We think it's boring because we've never entered into the thrill of supernatural power to accomplish ministry. We think it's boring because we've never entered into intimacy and spiritual worship and the embrace of God. We've never entered into the discipline of discipleship and the delight of the rewards that come as a result of that. We think it's boring because we've never sacrificially served other people and watched people's lives change because of what you poured into them. We think it's boring because the fear and trembling of risky obedience is unknown. We think it's boring because we've never persevered enough to have faith in the night seasons. We think it's boring because we don't understand the joy unspeakable that is filled with glory that comes when God shows up for you at the last second. You see, when you understand those things about God, how in the world could you even think is heaven boring? I just look back over my life and I'm a nothing and a nobody, but like, if I look back over my life, there's no way, Keith, that I believe that God is boring. So God never intended our experience here on earth to be boring. It's certainly not going to be in heaven. So then the question arises, well, what kind of stuff are we going to be doing in heaven? Besides having these heavenly resurrected bodies that aren't going to be hindered by, you know, earth type of things. Besides those things, tonight we're going to go through quickly just seven different things. Now, some of these things we've touched on in the previous week, but we looked at them from a different angle. Now we're going to look at it from a different angle even tonight. But I'm just going to give you seven things that without question are going to be happening in heaven, and you'll see that they're not boring for sure. So number one, two, and three, here you go. Singing, music, and creativity in heaven. Singing, music, and creativity. Now, for those of you who aren't crazy about singing now and you're going, I don't know, my voice isn't heavenly right now. It will be then. You're going to sing great. You're going to sing on key. You're not going to have to be embarrassed about it. You're going to sing wonderfully. Andrea Bocelli's not going to have anything on any of y'all once we get to heaven. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. I know we don't read things like this. Look at what it says. And they sang a what? A new song, saying, you're worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. We are going to sing in heaven. That doesn't surprise most of us. But it says that we're going to sing a new song. Now, if you sing a new song, something that's new, it's something that's been what? Created. It's new. It's nothing that we sang here before. That means that there is going to be creative juices flowing in heaven, writing new songs that the bride of Jesus gets to sing with beauty coming out of their mouths. New songs mean creativity. Now, think about this. It's creativity from a sinless, resurrected body. We're going to talk about our bodies being sinless probably next week, but look at this. Creativity with sinless, resurrected bodies. Dr. Dixon, you're here on the front row, so, and you're the great medical man, the great doctor in the house. I got to ask you this question. I've heard all this stuff growing up that we really actually only use about 10% of our brain. Is that about right, Dr. Dixon? About 10%. So when you think of all of the things that have been created here on earth with 10% of your sinful brain, what's it going to be like? What are we going to be able to create with 100% of a sinless brain? In a resurrected, glorified form. What's that gonna be like? I think we're gonna look at each other and go, Pastor Ian, I didn't know you had it in you. And you're gonna look back at me and go, Steve, I definitely knew you didn't have that in you. Imagine the music, the art, the books. Friends, what's gonna flow from us? Yes. Think about this. Now I'm not making any statements about whether they're saved or not. I'm just using that as an example. Beethoven. All right? Just think about a Beethoven-like person. I'm not saying whether he's in heaven or not. Don't. What is a Beethoven-like person? What does he create with 100% of a sinless, resurrected gifting? You think it's going to be songs that you've never even imagined what that would be like? I mean, I can get out there with this, and so when I'm just telling you something that's my opinion, I'm going to tell you it's my opinion. But I wonder if the music is going to be so unbelievably vibrant and real. Would it even be possible that we wouldn't just hear the music? We know what it is to feel music. We felt music tonight. What if we could see music? Because it's so otherly. That's not hard for me to go there at all. What is a Michelangelo-like person? What is his art and his sculpture look like in heaven? What kind of writing does a sinless, glorified, resurrected C.S. Lewis come up with? Well, I don't think he'll be doing that in heaven. I don't think they'll be writing. I don't think they're... Why not? Do you think that the gifting and the grace and the glory of God stops in heaven and it only is good here on earth? We're going to find out. Heaven is much more of a continuation of our earthly life and gifts and graces than you give it credit for. Yes, that's exactly right. So you creative folks, you haven't even scratched the surface of what, Becky, you haven't even scratched the surface of what you're going to be able to do in heaven. I love this quote from Victor Hugo, not known for being a great man of God, but I love what he said here. He said, I feel within me that future life. He said, for half a century, I have been translating my thoughts into prose and verse, history, drama, philosophy, romance, tradition, satire, ode, and song. All of these things I have tried, but I feel I haven't given utterance to the thousandth part of what lies within me. Listen. I think my sermons in heaven are going to be incredible. Yeah. Some of y'all are already waiting for me to finish this sermon on earth. Listen, you hadn't heard Steve Berger for nothing yet. Listen to what Randy Alcorn says again about this. He says, undistracted and undiminished by sin and the demands of survival, mankind will create and innovate at unprecedented levels to the glory of God. Whew. Sign me up. It's not just new songs. It's not just creating. It's singing these new songs with folks we haven't sung with before. From every tribe and people, nation, and tongue. What's that going to be like? Now, I've been some places around the world. I've listened to people worship God from so many different cultures and so many different languages. And it is always, when it's done in the beauty of holiness, it's always an incredible, inspiring, even tear-producing experience. Because you're realizing, I've been in Africa with Maasai warriors in their red robes, jumping up and down the way they do, giving glory to Jesus Christ. Some of us think God only speaks English. When we're there worshiping God from every tribe and tongue and people and nation, I think we're probably gonna sing in English, and the Maasai warrior is gonna sing in Swahili, whatever he sings in. We're all gonna sing in our own languages, and we're gonna be able to hear what it means. The whole gift of tongues thing, if it's that crazy on earth, how amazing is it going to be in heaven? Day of Pentecost, people there from 19 different cultures, and they heard the words of God in their own language. Heaven is going to be infinitely beyond that. Singing with people from every tribe, nation, and tongue. Not just that. I think we sang it tonight. Didn't we sing about singing with the elders? How about this one? Not just the elders casting their crowns before the throne, but the four living creatures. Now, just take a detour here and look at the four living creatures in the book of Revelation. And then don't you dare ever ask again, are there animals in heaven? There's not only creatures there, they sing. Well, why should that surprise you? Because there was a serpent in the garden that spoke. There was a donkey even in a fallen world that spoke. Surely there's no problem with us thinking, understanding there's creatures in heaven who sing. Because all of creation can't help in that eternal atmosphere. They can't help but to give God glory that's due his name. Exactly right. Look at this. Revelation 14, 2 and 3. John said, and I heard a voice from heaven, like the voice of many waters. And it was like the voice of loud thunder. What is that even? John's grasping to try to describe what this is even like. John, what was it like when you heard him sing? I don't know. It was like many waters. Okay, many waters. Well, I mean, not like many waters. It was like loud thunder. Okay, like loud thunder. Powerful, loud, captivating, engaging, beautiful, powerful. This is what it sounds like. And I heard the sound of harpists playing their harps. I'm not crazy about that part, but all right. And they sang, as it were, here it is again, a new song, where before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders, and no one could learn the song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. They get to hear it. Here's what it sounds like. But this particular new song is only to be sung by 144,000. Whoa, what is that song? And what will the rest of us do who aren't a part of the 144,000 when we hear those lyrics? What are those lyrics? How majestic must they be that they are reserved only for the 144,000, 12,000 each from the 12 tribes of Israel? I don't know, but I can't wait. Old songs, Revelation 15, 3. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God. What was the song of Moses? We go back to Exodus 15, 1. Then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider, he's thrown into the sea. So they sing that song. They sing the song of Moses, an old song, but they're also singing new songs. I love it. So old songs, new songs, music, singing, harps, creativity with resurrected people from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. Heaven. Turn to your neighbor and say, heaven ain't boring. I love this next one. Number 4. Ready for this one? How about mom? How about laughing? Laughing. If you don't laugh now, you might not be born again yet, but if you don't laugh now, get used to it, because you are going to be laughing in heaven. There's going to be fun and funny things that happen in heaven. My sense of humor is going to have to be redeemed slightly, I think. There's things that I think are funny that probably can't exist there. But there's going to be hilarious stuff that happens in heaven where we look at one another and can't help but belly laugh. Why do I say that? Luke 6:21, it's in red in your Bibles. Jesus said, "Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be filled. And blessed," I love this, "blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh." You shall laugh. I know it's dark at night, but joy does come in the morning. And it is going to come when the Son of God arises with healing in his wings and touches every bit of our sorrow, our grief, and our pain, things that hampered and hindered our own laughing. They'll be washed away forever, and we will laugh. Come on, somebody. I love what Martin Luther, I mean, here, listen, if nobody knows how to laugh, it's a German. Germans don't know how to laugh. I'm German, I can say it. Martin Luther, what did he say? If you can't laugh in heaven, I don't want to go. The great Reformation preacher, Martin Luther, I love it. Obviously, he wasn't serious. C.S. Lewis, brilliant English mind. He said, joy is the serious business of heaven. David the psalmist, Psalm 16:11. He said, you're going to show me the path of life, and in your presence is the fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. What does the fullness of joy look like? It means that there is nowhere in the universe that has more joy than what you're experiencing in heaven. It is the fullness of joy. There's nowhere else you can go and get a little bit more joy, even just a little bit. No, it is the fullness of joy. And what is at God's right hand? The right hand is always in Scripture, the hand of power and blessing. And at God's right hand are pleasures forevermore. It means the joy and the laughter and the pleasure of heaven, it's forevermore. It never runs out. No bad days. Joy. Pleasure, laughter, glory to God, worship, singing, creating, drawing and painting, sculpting, writing, creating, preaching. Number five, people always ask this question. Here we go. Are there animals in heaven? Well, we've already seen the four living creatures, and we know that Jesus returns with the armies of heaven on white horses. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 6 through 9, we looked at this last week from a different standpoint. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze together. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. You know, friends, all the animals in the Garden of Eden were vegetarians. They didn't consume one another. That's the result of sin in the world. And so when we look at what heaven looks like, it shouldn't surprise us, right, that the lion shall eat straw like the ox. He's not eating the ox. He done eating the ox. Now he's eating straw. Bummer for him. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. Look at this. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Are there animals in heaven? You better believe it. And they are at total peace with one another. Now, some people say, like I told you last week, Isaiah chapter 11, oh, well, that's the millennial kingdom. That's before the resurrected, the new heaven and the new earth. if you think earth now or the millennial kingdom is going to be more than the resurrected new heaven and new earth, you're missing it. There is nothing greater, grander, more miraculous, more satisfying, more glorious than the eventual new heaven and new earth. If there's animals going to be, if that is only the millennial kingdom, it's going to be way past that in the new heaven and the new earth. Are there animals in heaven? You better believe it. Are your deceased ones there? Now listen. I'm being careful. There are theologians that make the point that animals don't have spirits, eternal spirits. And I can't argue that from a theological standpoint. But because I see that animals are in heaven, I'm going with Billy Graham on this one. Billy Graham said, if heaven will be better because your dead dog is there, I think God will have your dead dog there. If heaven's the fullness of joy, and at his right hand are pleasures forevermore, and there's already animals there, now I've got a few dogs that I liked them, but not forever. There's a few I want to see. Come on, animal lovers, don't cry with me right now. Yeah, there's animals in heaven. No question about it. All right, what about this one? Did you ever think about this? We're so conditioned again by culture. We take this phrase, rest in peace. I think that's a nice thing to say. It sounds nice. I just don't know how biblical it is in that sense, that we rest in peace, like the ultimate thing we could do is nothing forever. Just resting in peace. I kind of don't want to do that. I want to work. I want to work for the Lord. I want to serve the Lord. Revelation 7:15. Speaking of the redeemed, therefore they are before the throne of God and they serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. There's service and work to do in heaven. There's stuff to do. I love that. Revelation 22:3 on the new heaven and the new earth. And there shall be no more curse. Pay attention to that. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall what? Serve him. You're still a servant in heaven. A servant isn't someone who doesn't serve. A servant is someone who serves. And servants will serve him in heaven. Both intermediate or heaven now and the new heaven and the new earth, people are going to serve God. Or in other words, keep on serving God. There's jobs to plan in heaven. There's plans to fulfill in heaven. I'm convinced that there's building and farming and teaching and exploring. There's adventure. There is serving to do in heaven. Now, I think we'll do it from a wonderful place of resting in peace, but there's stuff to do in heaven. Serving God. How? However he says. For some, it'll be in the temple. For sure it says that. But for others, the scripture leaves it more open-ended and it just says, his servant shall serve him. What's that going to be like? I don't know. The scripture doesn't say, but it does say we'll serve him there. That sounds good to me. I love the idea of that. Whatever it is, it'll only and always be enjoyable. See, what makes, if you think about it, what makes work a hassle here? People you work with? The obstructions that you face to try to fulfill a task? none of those things. The crabby workmate, the obstacles, the obstructions, the broken tool, the slammed thumb, the broken shoulders, gone. Not going to happen. So when we talk about working and serving in heaven, it's only going to be the thrill and the joy of accomplishment in a sinless atmosphere. That sounds good to me. That sounds good to me. Don't stop serving. You're going to keep serving. You're going to keep working. I love it. Now, finally, our last one. We get to reign with Christ. I'm gonna leave you kind of hanging with this one just a little bit, because we got to get into it in a future week. Revelation chapter 5, verse 10. When they're singing the song to Jesus, the Lamb of God, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, they sing to him and they say that you've made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. You're going to be a king. You're going to be a priest. There's going to be places. This is tough with earth language, but you can only reign if you have a domain to reign over. Do you understand what I'm saying? Reigning is enforcing authority. Reign is having authority and responsibility over someone or something or someone's or some things in a certain geographical area. He says we're going to reign as kings and priests. There's responsibility. There's authority given. Revelation 21, 24. Now, this is the new heaven and the new earth. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light. Speaking of the new heaven and the new earth and the holy city, Jerusalem. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth, who are who? Us. Because we're going to reign as kings and priests. The kings of the earth shall bring their glory and honor into it. You never thought about it, did you? Scripture says we're going to judge the 12. Jesus said we're going to judge the 12 tribes of Israel, Pam. There's work to do. There's stuff to do. There's things to enforce. There's opportunities to reign with godly responsibility. I'm not going to cheat. I'm just going to give you a little more. You read in Luke 19 the parable of the 10 minas, not to be confused with the parable of the talents. But the parable of the 10 minas in Luke 19, when Jesus doles out the minas, the money, if you will, gives one guy 10, another guy 5. The guy with 10 comes back and the Lord says to him, what'd you do with it? He said, I got you 10 more. He goes, you're going to rule and reign over 10 cities. The guy with 5, hey, what'd you do with the 5? I got you 5 more. You're going to reign over 5 cities. The next guy did nothing with his, because he was a bitter servant. I knew you're an austere man and you take what you haven't worked for. And so here, I just wrapped it in a handkerchief. Here, it's back. Jesus said, I'm taking it from you and giving it to someone who's a producer. You got nothing coming your way. I don't want to be that guy. No. I'm not working and serving the Lord here and now faithfully because I have some drive to be a ruler over 10 cities and to reign over 10 cities. And finally, I get to execute my will over people. See, that spirit isn't even in a sinless creation. I want to work and serve the Lord now, because if I'll do that, people's lives are going to be touched and changed for the glory of God. And then part of the reward comes on the other side of heaven, where he says, all right, and we'll look at this. We'll see it in depth later in the series. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And here's what I'm giving you to reign over. Here's the work and the service and what you get to do. Serious stuff. So, anyway, friends, heaven ain't going to be boring. It's not going to be boring. And so just like on the serious, like, tender, sensitive, personal part for, I guess, probably a lot of us in this room. We've got loved ones who are in heaven, don't we? Doesn't it do something in your heart? Maybe we're in different levels and places, depths of grief right now. Does it do something for your heart to know they're not just resting in peace? Does it do something for your heart and your hope to know they're more alive than we are? That they're experiencing the goodness of God? That they're worshiping and serving and creating and working? Yeah, it helps us, because then we grieve biblically and not just culturally. Friends, we have to set our minds on things above, because it affects every part of our life. It affects how we grieve for those who are in heaven now, absolutely. But it affects how we live our own lives right here and now. Every follower of Jesus, you're not going to be judged for your salvation. You're going to be judged for your reward. Jesus doesn't want you getting in by the skin of your teeth. Enter in, man, with joy and accomplishment. Man, Lord, I loved you and I served you and I gave my life for you and your kingdom and your cause. And he says, all right, pal, come on in. Here's what I got for you. Yes. Not just yes that I made it, but yes that I gave glory on earth, and yes that I get rewarded in heaven. Well, Pastor Steve, I don't think you should be talking about looking for the reward. Why not? The scripture says Moses looked for the reward. Nothing wrong with looking for the reward. Just don't let it be your only motivation. Your reward is the result of living a life that glorifies God now and produces fruit for him. Changes everything. Heaven changes everything. Isn't that awesome? You did a little better that time. It really was a little bit better. All right, so that's the end of the message. Right, now I'm done. Is anybody wondering about the second half of the dream I had last week with Animal? Well, I'm gonna tell you. I had multiple people come up to me last week and say, hey, you never finished the story. And I said, you didn't listen. I said I would tell you in the future that I was going to leave you hanging. Now, you haven't been sleeping for a week. I know that. Now I'm going to tell you. And this is the kind of thing that makes you scratch your head. I'm not making any huge theological point. I'm just telling you a story the way that it was told me. But how do I hear this story? I hear it through the lens of Scripture. And particularly, I hear it through that our God is the God of all comfort. He is the God of all comfort. All comfort means what? It means that God comforts us in a way that is complete and total. It is all. He's an all-comforting God. But what it also means is God isn't limited by how he would comfort us. He can comfort us in all kinds of different ways. All right? So it's in that spirit that I tell you the end of the story. So for those of you who weren't here last week, I told you about a story of my friend whose biker name was Animal. He was a Hell's Angel one percenter that got gloriously born again, saved by Jesus. He still looked like an animal, I promise you. Big old towering guy, big old long beard. You did not want to meet him And you didn't want to just meet him in the alley. You didn't want to meet him at the frozen food aisle. Daryl got born again gloriously, became the most loving guy, like, ever. He had a massive heart attack. The doctors told him, you're not going to make it. He was in his hospital bed in Daryl-like form and strength. He got up for those who rushed to the hospital, hugged and kissed. Daryl was a kisser. He'd kiss me on the cheek. I can't tell you how many times. He hugged and kissed everyone and said a word of blessing over them, told them how much he loved them, and said his goodbye and went to heaven. I had an incredible dream about him that I talked about last week. And some weeks after, I don't remember exactly how long, maybe it was, honey, do you remember, was it a month later? Maybe a month later, I had this incredible dream that I told you about last week. I called his widow, Val. And Val is a lovely Southern California flower child hippie chick. She's awesome. When I called it and told her about the dream, she said, Steve, listen to my story. What happened to me? I go, Val, I'm all ears. What happened? She said, for weeks leading up to the surprise heart attack, nobody was expecting, for weeks in flower child hippie Southern California fashion, I was begging Daryl, Daryl, I want a baby possum. Does anybody know where Garden Grove, California is? Good, so many of you. It's a concrete jungle, am I right? It's right next to Disneyland, it's right next to Anaheim. It's not rural. It's a concrete jungle. It is one concrete pad house next to another one for as far as you can see from Santa Barbara to San Diego. It's not country. Remember that. I begged Daryl. Daryl, I want a baby possum. I'm not getting you a baby possum. We live in Garden Grove. We used to affectionately call it Garbage Grove. We're not getting you a possum in Garden Grove. We can't do it. 3 weeks before his heart attack. Now go back to the hospital room. Daryl's there and he is saying his goodbyes to his wife. And she says to Daryl, Daryl, I know you're going to heaven. I know you love Jesus. I know Jesus loves you. I know you're going to be all right. Now, if you've never been in this circumstance with someone, you might not get this. I get this. If there's any way when you get there, if you could just let me know that you're all right, if you could just ask Jesus, if you could just do something to let me know you're all right, could you do it? And like a good man, he says, you know, Val, if the Lord allows me, I'll do it. She's telling me the story. She said, Pastor Steve, after Daryl's funeral was over, I unlocked the door of my locked up house. There wasn't a window open. There wasn't a backsliding door open. I unlocked the front door of my house after being at my husband's funeral. I walked into the living room and I turned down the hall and I looked down the hall and right in front of the closed door of my bedroom on the floor, on the carpet, waiting for me was a baby possum. Do with it what you want. I look at that and go, he is indeed the God of all comfort. Glory to God. Let's pray together. Father, we're grateful tonight for your word. We really are, God. It brings us life and light and joy and peace, and we're thankful. Lord, may we never, ever again look at heaven as being something that's boring. Lord, may this word penetrate our own spirits. And Lord, may it do it so much that we have this, listen church, we have this to articulate to other people. We don't want to hoard the hope of heaven. We want to give it away. Freely we've received, therefore let us freely give. And so God, help us share the good news of heaven. Anoint us for it, Lord, as we commit to set our eyes on things above. In Jesus' name, who is the resurrected, hope-giving Son of God. In Jesus' name, and God's happy people said, amen, amen, and amen. Awesome. God bless you guys. Thank you for being here. Lovely.